We're going to talk this morning a little bit about warfare. In a war, there are many victories and there are many defeats. There are those that are killed and those that are maimed and wounded. There are those that are AWOL. That means that they forsake the army that they were part of and say, this isn't for me. And they depart from their company and deserters. And in a warfare, there is lots of suffering. Lots of suffering. So when the Bible talks about warfare, we can really understand what that term means. And we know the passage in Ephesians 6:13. It talks about the principalities and powers. And we struggle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness, the rulers of the darkness of this present world. And also, I think it was James, in James 4, verse 1, he talks about the warfare, the war of your lust. Lust warring in your members, if I correctly quoted that. But there is a warfare that is in your members, and it's called lust. And that is really the source of our trouble today in the world, and also our troubles today in the church, if we have any. It is in our members, in our lust. But the first verse here that I want to look at this morning, Matthew 1:21, we see the whole purpose of the coming of Jesus Christ. She shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Why did she call him Jesus? For he shall save his people from their sins. Now remember, this is the first time that the word save is used in the New Testament. Jesus Christ came to be our Savior, to save us, his people. That's what it says here, his people from their sins. The question I have for you this morning is, did Jesus, or has Jesus accomplished this in your life? Has Jesus Christ accomplished his mission in your life? Has he saved you from your sins? This verse tells me a lot. It tells me that a Christian, someone who has been baptized into the body of Jesus Christ, and that's what a Christian is, someone who is a disciple of Jesus, a follower of Jesus Christ, should never live his life in sin. He should never live his life in sin. Because the Bible says Jesus came for the mission of this purpose right here, to save his people from their sins. And therefore, if I am a Christian and I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ, then I should not be a person that is living and tolerating sin in my life. Once we are called his people, we no longer have an excuse. No longer have an excuse to continue in a life lived out in sin. Because Jesus Christ here, the name Jesus means Savior. And Jesus Christ is a Savior. And that's why Paul said in Romans 6:1, shall we continue in sin? And then he says in 6:2, God forbid. God forbid. Jesus means Savior. He shall save his people from their sins. Salvation means to walk in the freedom from sin. That's salvation. To walk in the freedom from sin. To no longer be in bondage to the slavery of sin. To be in a right relationship with God. That's salvation. To be in a right relationship with God. To do His will. To be in His will. And you cannot be in His will. And you cannot say that you are doing His will if you continue in sin. No one can be doing the will of God and live a life of sin and continue to sin. I guarantee you tonight, this morning, messages being preached all over the world, I bet there are more messages excusing sin as being a part of our life rather than how sin should not be a part of our life. More people give the excuse, well, it's just part of our nature, this is how we are, and they continue on to give excuses for sin. But I guarantee you, if you read the Bible, we see more places in the Bible where we're exhorted not to sin than there are places where we are encouraged to say, well, it's okay. It's just the way we are. We're human, and we all have mistakes. No, you won't find that kind of talk in the Bible. Now, turn over to Matthew 19. Remember when Jesus was asked the question by the disciples in Matthew 19:25, they said, who then can be saved? Who then can be saved? And Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. God sent Jesus Christ to be our Savior. And it is possible, because it says here, with God, all things are possible. It is possible to live a life free from sin. Because with God, Jesus Christ, He's asked the question here. We're talking about salvation. We talked about it right here in Matthew 1:21. Jesus came to save His people from what? From their sins. That doesn't mean a one-time deliverance. This means a continual deliverance from a lifestyle that the world wants us to live. Given over to our lust, over to the devil, and what he wants us to do his will, to do our own will. On our own, people say, well, you're saying to live a life free from sin. How is that possible? On our own, it is impossible. With men, Jesus said, that is impossible. But God, by His grace, has made this possible. See, salvation always starts with God. Salvation is by grace. Some jump to the conclusion and say, it's grace alone. But they forget the rest of that verse. We are saved by grace through faith. Through faith. We'll talk about that verse in the upcoming messages. But salvation always starts with God. He's the one who provides it. That's grace. We are saved by grace. Grace is able to do things in our life. Grace is powerful. Now turn over to 1 John 3:8. Remember, we're sitting here. We're talking about warfare here. And Jesus is a Savior. He came to save us from our sins. And we cannot save ourselves. That is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. In 1 John 3:8, we really see the mission of Jesus Christ. First, he talks about the devil. The one who practices sin is of the devil. Anyone in this room that continues in sin is of the devil. I'm not saying that. That's what the Bible's saying. The Bible says The one who practices sin is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, appeared for this purpose, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Jesus Christ came to undo what the devil has done in our lives. The work of the devil is sin. He is the originator of sin. He is the one who invented sin. When we see sin in the life of a person, or in our own life, let's put it that way. Let's go to our own selves. If we see sin in our own life, we can know for sure the devil is getting an advantage on us. And the works of the devil are being worked in our life. Anytime we give a place for sin, I mean, you think about it in 2 Corinthians 2:11. Unforgiveness is a work of the devil. Because he was getting an advantage over the believers at Corinth because of their unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is a work of Satan. A work of the devil. And the works of the devil can only be destroyed by one person. And that is Jesus Christ. But if we continue in sin, we are showing who we belong to. We are showing who we belong to. We had a person come here for a while, and hopefully one day, they're not a member, but they came here to visit. And they are openly declaring who they belong to by the lifestyle they have chosen to live. They have decided to follow and participate in the works of the devil. And it is absolutely clear that this person is a professing Christian, but he is working the works of the devil in his life. But notice here, the one who practices sin is of the devil. Don't ever forget that. Let's never forget that. That is why we never want to give a place for any kind of sin in our life. I saw this more than ever when I read this passage. Let's read that again. The one who practices sin is of the devil. We got that clear. That is absolutely... Is that what your Bible says? He who committeth sin, I think the King James says, is of the devil. I mean, there is no gray area there. There's no what ifs. It is black and white, clear on the paper. Now notice the mission of Jesus Christ. Very clear. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, that He might destroy the works of the devil. The word destroy here is in the present tense. And actually the word means to be loosed. To be loosed. It is a word in the Greek that describes a person who is bound or tied up with a rope or something that restricts his freedom. Jesus used the same word in John 11:44. He that was dead came forth, that is Lazarus, came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes. So he was completely tied up like a mummy. He was bound. He was restricted. And his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him. Same word here. Loose him and let him go. Set him free. It means to be made free from bondage. And Jesus Christ appeared for this purpose, that He might set us free from the works of the devil. Jesus has the power to set us free this morning from the works of the devil. That is why He came. He came to save us from our sins. To free us from the works of the devil. I don't know about you, but I was 25 years old when I started following Jesus, started reading the Bible. And Jesus had a lot of things to undo in my life. And you know what? He still is undoing things in my life. We don't have to belong to the devil. We don't have to belong to the devil anymore. Sin does not have to be our practice. Jesus here, it says here, the present tense says that He can continually set us free from the works of the devil. Isn't that awesome this morning? That is our Savior. That is salvation. To be set free from the works of the devil. Question. Are we allowing Jesus, the Son of God, to accomplish His mission in our lives? Are we free this morning from the works of the devil? Is there something in our life this morning that we are in bondage to? Doesn't have to be that way. It just doesn't have to be that way. Turn to James 4, 7. What a powerful verse James 4, 7 is. Powerful. Something the devil would not want us to understand this morning. Loaded with truth. James 4, 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Have you ever considered this promise? This is how we win the war. This is how we have the victory. This is God's word. This is God's promise. This is an absolute guarantee from God. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. All the devil has power to do in your life is to tempt you. He cannot make you sin. But he can tempt you to sin. How do we overcome the devil's temptation? How do we overcome the temptation to sin? Two words. Submit and resist. Submit and resist. There's your Christian warfare right there. If I had one verse right here to share about the warfare that we have and how we gain the victory, it is found in these two words: submit and resist. If we submit ourselves to God's will by obeying God's commandments, we resist the devil, the promise is there. We have a promise from God. The devil will flee from you. If the devil's fleeing from me, that means he's not going to be around even to tempt me. You know, when we disobey the Lord and we knowingly disobey, we remove ourselves out from God's provisional covering, God's blessing, God's protection. And guess what? The devil will be all over us. Because it's either God or the devil. You're either in God's kingdom or you're in the devil's kingdom. There is no gray area. You can't straddle a fence. Submit and resist. What this verse tells me is this. Every single temptation, no matter how great it might be, every single temptation that the devil brings, no matter how big it might be, we can resist it. We can resist it. The devil doesn't want you to know that. He wants you to be a stooge. He wants you to be a dummy. We have absolutely no excuse to give in to any temptation, no matter how great it might be. Because the Bible says here that we can resist. Every single temptation can be resisted. Every single temptation can be resisted. If sin is in your life, it's there because you allowed it. Because you did not resist temptation. Sin is in your life. It is there because you allowed it to be in your life. You did not resist the temptation. How do we live free from sin? You resist one temptation at a time. Resist. Resist. On every front, you're always resisting. 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 This is a warfare. If you resist the temptation to sin, you don't give in to sin, don't surrender to sin, guess what? It will leave. It will go away. He will say, well, how do I get rid of these weird thoughts and strange habits? It's very simple. It's found in the words resist. You continue to resist, and guess what? The temptation will go away. Because the tempter goes away. Does that make sense?
Yes.
The devil will flee when we resist. And that is not my words. That is a promise from the Holy Bible. Well, some will say, well, it's just too strong. It's too great of a temptation. It's too mighty for me to overcome. Again, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 10:13. If we think that our temptation is greater and bigger and something that we can't overcome, then we are so stinking deceived. The Bible says very clearly, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. If we think that we are being tempted and we can't resist the temptation, we are calling God a liar. We might as well just say it, God, you're a liar. He says right here, God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. Is that in the Bible? But with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. And not sin. To resist. we're deceived if we think that there's temptation greater, too great for us to overcome. When you know what you're about to do, when you know what you're about to do is sin, and you go ahead and do it anyways, that is not submitting to God. That is not submitting to God. You are putting yourself over God's will. When you know that what you're about to do is sin, and you do it anyways, you are putting yourself over and above God's will. And you know what? That, my friends, is the work of the devil. The work of the devil, from the very beginning, was always to exalt himself over God. And that's exactly what he wants Christians to do, to exalt their own opinions, their own understanding, their own wisdom over God. But if we submit to God and we resist, Satan will flee. To resist temptation is a call to suffer. People say, well, I'm not really suffering the way they did in the first century or the way Jesus did. You know why people constantly, who profess Jesus Christ, constantly fall into temptation and into sin? Is because it's suffering is involved in temptation. And people don't want to suffer against temptation. They don't want to suffer. They hate suffering. They don't want to suffer with Jesus. And therefore, they give in. They surrender. I give up. This is too hard for me. I can't take it anymore. Give me a Prozac. Prozac is a mind-altering drug. But they don't want to suffer with Jesus. That's not the Christianity they're called to. Right? The Christianity that is being proclaimed throughout the world today is a Christianity that no one suffers. Jesus suffered in the past, and therefore glory, we can all be free and never have to suffer again because he suffered for us. But in Hebrews 2:18, it says, "For in that he himself," that is Jesus Christ, our high priest, "hath suffered being tempted." Suffered being tempted. See, Jesus Christ suffered being tempted. He is able to succor or help or aid them that are tempted. Think about it. Every time, every single time that you and I are tempted to sin, it is a call from God for you to suffer. Every single time that you are tempted to sin, God is calling you to suffer. Temptation is always a time to suffer. Not a time to play games. It's a time to suffer. Turn to 1 Peter 4:1. This is warfare. And as I said this morning, warfare involves suffering. I mean, even the people that don't go into the warfare, the families that are home, are suffering. The whole context of a warfare is suffering. 1 Peter 4:1. "Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves, Christians, also with the same purpose." The same purpose. "Because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Do you see what I see in this verse? Christ's suffering in this verse had to do with ceasing from sin. He resisted temptation. And there was a conflict. Anytime that we resist temptation, there is going to be a conflict. It's not going to be easy. So remember, the next time you come to the crossroads of temptation, it's your time and it's your duty to identify with Christ. To identify with Him in His sufferings. To say, not my will be done, but thy will be done. You don't have to surrender to temptation. You can resist it. Just as Jesus Christ resisted and suffered in the flesh. He suffered in the flesh. That's an amazing thing. He suffered in the flesh. We should not think it strange that we should suffer in the flesh. That's if we want to cease from sin. And keep in mind, as great as our temptations might seem to be, we've never yet been called to resist to the point of shedding our blood. And that's what the writer of Hebrews goes on to say in Hebrews 12:4. He says, "You have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin." Hebrews 12:4. Turn there. Hebrews 12:4. What a verse. The NIV says this, "In your struggle," what are we talking about this morning? Warfare. "In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood." King James says, "You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." Not yet! Are we ready to resist sin to this degree? Many Christians have. Many Christians have done this. Jesus did it. He chose to die a gruesome death on the cross instead of giving in to His temptation to do His own will. The temptation of all those around Him saying, "Come down off the cross if you are the Christ. If you are the Son of God, come down. Show us. Deliver us. Deliver yourself." But He chose, instead, to give in to temptation, He chose to die. You know what? We're called to follow His steps. Go to 1 Peter 2. And I never really saw this like I've seen it this week. 1 Peter 2:21. "For even hereunto were you called." Did I say that temptation is a call from God for us to suffer? For even hereunto are ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow His steps." Don't stop there. What's the next verse say? "Who did no sin." See, there's the whole point. You should follow His steps. "Who did no sin. Neither was guile found in His mouth." We are to follow the example of Jesus Christ, the example that He left for us. And what is that example? A life that is not given over to sin, who did no sin. And that's what a Christian is. A Christian is a follower of Christ. And again in this verse, suffering here is associated with not giving into sin. Christ suffered, who did no sin. He's our example. So if we want to live a holy life, you think it's going to be easy? It's not. It's going to require some pain. It's going to require some suffering on our part. We don't want to get that cushy Christianity. Where we compromise on every front. Just because it might cost us a little bit of pain. Temptation will always be painful. I don't know about you. Temptations that come my way, the really strong ones, and when you resist them, there is pain involved. There is suffering involved. But it's a call to identify with Christ. To suffer for Christ. You want to suffer for Jesus in this age? Resist temptation. If you want to suffer with Jesus, you say, well, how can I suffer with Jesus? I want to co-reign with Him in His kingdom. You don't have to go down to the mosque and start telling everybody that Allah is of the devil and get martyred by some Muslims. You don't have to do that. Just in your daily life, resist temptation. Resist temptation. And guess what? The Lord is there to help you. The Lord is there to help you in all your temptations. That's why it said He is able to aid us. He suffered being tempted and is able to help those that are being tempted. He is strengthening you to resist the devil. And the devil will flee. Paul said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things. All things means I can resist every single temptation. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I don't have to yield to the temptations that come my way. Did not Paul say in Romans 8:31, if God be for us, then who could be against us? We can be free from sin. Every time we give in to temptation, we are putting ourselves under the control of the devil. And that is not a good place to be. That is not a good place to be. Go to 1 Peter, last verse. No, there's two more verses I want to share. 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5. A warfare verse. Verse 8. Be sober. Be vigilant. This is a war we're in, right? Be sober, be vigilant. Vigilant means be awake. Sober means be in your right mind. Arm yourselves, as Peter said. Right? That's what he said. He said back in 1 Peter 4:1, he said, arm yourselves with the same purpose. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Through what? Through temptation. He's the tempter. Then in verse 9, here we have it. Resist him. Resist him. You can resist him. The Bible says resist him. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing. Here we come again. Knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who has called us to his age-lasting glory, kingdom glory, by Christ Jesus. After you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Once again in this verse, resisting the devil, resisting temptation. That's right. When we resist the devil, we're resisting temptation. That's what I mean. When we resist the devil, we are resisting temptation. Once again in this verse, it's associated with suffering. That is why Christians are constantly falling into sin. Because, again, it is a call to suffer. Notice the word he specifically uses here in how to resist the devil. He uses the word steadfast. Resist him steadfast in the faith. The word steadfast means fixed, unchanging, unwavering, a firm loyalty, strong and stable. This is an uncompromising choice to live in the faith. Resist him steadfast in the faith. The faith means keep your minds on the promise, your mind set on the promises of God. And by the way, that's where we find God's grace. God's grace isn't some kind of mystical thing that floats around. Unmerited favor, here it comes. No, it's not anything like that. God's grace is found in God's promises that He gives us. And that's how He strengthens us. That is His divine power. Turn to 2 Peter, verse 1. Everything you will ever need to resist the devil and submit to God and to be a godly person is found in God's divine power. And God's divine power is found in His promises. That's what Peter says here in 2 Peter 1:3. According as His divine power hath given unto us. See, it's grace. It's given unto us. I didn't earn it. I didn't merit it. His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life, the life that we live now and the life in the age to come. Unto life and godliness. So everything we need to know about living godly is found in what God has given us. Through the knowledge of Him. Through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding and great precious promises. There you have it. His divine power is given to us, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, and that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. The divine nature doesn't sin. The divine nature walks in holiness. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. If you want to resist the devil and you want to escape the corruption that is in the world through lust, you are going to have the great and precious promises. That is God's grace. That is God's power. In closing this morning, Jesus Christ is our Savior. We need to know our Savior in warfare. He came to save us from our sins, deliver us from our sins, rescue us from our sins. Do we love the pleasures of sin more than God? That's what we're saying. That is what we are communicating. That is the message that we are sending God every time we give in to temptation. That's how serious it is. We're sending a fax to God, a letter to God, an email to God, however you want to say it. That I love the pleasures of sin more than you, God. Every single time we give in to temptation. Resist means to keep from giving into, to keep from enjoying. Don't give in to what tempts you. That is my message this morning. To win the warfare, don't give in to what tempts you. You can resist in Jesus' name. You can resist through the promises, exceeding great and precious promises, and be free from the works of the devil. And that way, you will have a happy life here, and you will have a happy ending when the kingdom comes. Let's pray.